Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashaswi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited for the Q2 FY23 earnings, which were announced on Monday. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, Mr. Rajesh D. Shah, CFO and COO, and Mr. Vikas Kothari, Deputy CFO of Cera Sanitaryware. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we shall open the floor for Q&A. A quick disclaimer before we begin. Some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed note in this regard is contained in the earnings documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone. The earnings for the second quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2022 were adopted by the board of directors on November 7th, 2022. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. At present, our manufacturing facility continues to function at high utilization levels. Capacity utilization for Q2 FY23 for sanitaryware was at 115%, and we endeavor to operate the plant at similar levels all through FY23. In faucetware, the capacity utilization was at 116% during Q2 FY23, and all efforts are on to maintain these levels. As indicated in our previous earnings con call, our current production for September 2022 at the faucetware plant has been 2.9 lakh pieces. In FY21, it was 1.25 lakh pieces per month. In FY22, it was 2.18 lakh pieces per month. The current production is a 132% increase over the production level of FY21 and a 33% increase over FY22. The faucetware expansion program to take capacity to 4 lakh pieces per month commenced from July 2022. Requisite approvals from the Gujarat Pollution Control Board were obtained. The enhanced production is scheduled to go on stream in July 2023. The total cost of the project is 69 crore to be funded entirely from annual operating cash flow. The cost breakup is building and civil work 37 crore, equipment and plant 24.75 crore, electrical substation 7.5 crore. The product mix planned is colored SKUs, quarter turn SKUs, PVD SKUs, and a few more SKUs that can be taken in from outsourced partners. So far, not a single day of disruption of current manufacturing has taken place. The market has been continuously fed with products from the existing plant. We expect to end FY24 with an output of 4 lakh pieces per month. In April 2022, newer value-added SKUs in faucetware were introduced at a national dealer meet. SKUs in 4 ranges and in 6 colors were introduced to the trade. These value-added products included black matte finished faucets, red matte finished faucets, and other PVD products. An extensive range of rose gold, French gold, yellow gold products were part of the event. These new products are being gradually rolled out with a grand display at 100 dealers' outlets. Over time, these new ranges will provide 319 SKUs. The sanitaryware plant is operating at a capacity utilization of 115%. This is the highest utilization in the past 10 years for Cera. If we look beyond the numbers, the capacity is very agile, allows shifting between outsourced SKUs and manufacturing SKUs, some of which may require shorter runs. Certain products which used to be outsourced within India and from China are now taken in and are being manufactured in-house. the plant can, in a cost-effective way, manufacture short batches of SKUs whenever required. China imports in FY21 were 57.2 crores or 4.76% of sales. In FY22, China imports were 67.87 crores or 4.71% of sales. In H1 FY23, China imports were 27.66 crores, only 3.41% of sales. Serra was already one of the lowest users of products made in China, and with availability of manufacturing infrastructure in-house, the percentage of Chinese imports to sales have been continuously declining. In a business which is brand-driven, the fulcrum of success is now completely manufacturing and plant efficiency. For fresh capacity for manufacturing sanitary ware, the company has carried out extensive surveys of water, gas, and labor availability for a greenfield facility. A few land parcels have been shortlisted, and the company is currently in discussions for those land parcels. Since CapEx will commence post-land acquisition, the detailed plans of the phase-wise capital expenditure will be made available. So far, no binding or non-binding documents have been signed for any land parcel. As on 30th September 2022, our cash and cash equivalents stood at 573 crores against 485 crores in September 2021, registering an increase of 88 crores or an 18% increase. Positive cash flow for Q2 FY23 has been 50 crores as compared to 45 crores in Q2 FY22. Therefore, going forward, only internal accruals are being used to fund the two CapEx programs. And we would also retain the flexibility to use some part of the cash and cash equivalents if required. I would like to reiterate that no debt raising or equity dilution is planned or required for both the capacity expansions. Q2 FY23 also continued to witness stable raw material behavior in sanitary ware and a downward bias in raw materials for faucet ware. During Q2 FY23, no price hikes were undertaken. On the sanitary ware business, key items like China clay, feldspar, plaster of Paris, which constitute more than 95% of sanitary ware's raw material mix, had no impact. Within the glazing recipe, which constitutes less than 1% of sanitary ware's raw material mix, the key constituents have moved down by 16% during Q2. Due to the availability of gas from isolated wells near our plant, the pricing of gas from GAIL continues to remain below market and will do so in the future. Price has remained stable at 25.72 per cubic meter in September 2022. Which was 25.69 per cubic meter in June 2022. In Q2 FY23, GAIL provided 54% of the gas requirement of the sanitary ware business. Sabarmati Gas, a JV of BPCL and GSPC's pricing, went from 73 rupees 58 paisa per cubic meter in June 22 to 75 rupees 38 paisa per cubic meter in September 22. Sabarmati supplies 46% of the gas needs of the plant. Gas costs constituent is 3.12% of Serra's top line. There have been no changes in the price of ancillary cost items like transportation cost. The cost of corrugated boxes have remained stable. Our high reliance on renewable energy for over two decades has significantly benefited us, given that 63% of our electricity needs are met from wind and solar power sources. As a result, we have been able to keep significant parts of our cost basket stable. On to some further developments in the retailer loyalty program, which was launched by Serra in Q1 FY23, which has now almost completed 6 months. More than 13,000 retailers have already used the retailer app. These retailers form the bulk of Serra's distribution reach. We expect the total number of retailers to be around 15,000 plus, who most likely will be part of this loyalty program by end FY23. The feedback received from retailers has helped us in the understanding the consumers' changing demands, geographical segmentation of SKUs, and evolution of the rewards program to retailers. Besides standardizing invoices, in H1, more than 145 crores of sales to retailers have become eligible to receive rewards through this program. Many below-the-line marketing activities such as displays at the point of sale are being driven by this program. The company's ability to tweak trade practices, trade pricing, and ability to steer the direction of the dealer and retailer equation have all undergone a sea change. We have also seen an improvement in multi-brand retailers who have undertaken various initiatives to sell Cera products. This ties in very well with our new product development. As product life cycle reduces, new product offerings at higher price points with dramatically new aesthetics and functionality are core to our top line and margin expansion. In H1, FY21, 81 new products were introduced. In H1, FY22, 3 new products were introduced. And in H1, FY23, 59 new products have been introduced. In that backdrop, we can go over the financials. Revenue from operations in Q2, FY23 were 414 crores versus 393 crores in Q2, FY22. EBITDA, excluding other income, was 66 crores in Q2 FY23 versus 58 crores in Q2 FY22. The gross margin has improved at 56% in Q2 FY23 against 51% in Q2 FY22. The EBITDA margin is higher by 120 basis points at 15.9% in Q2 FY23 versus 14.7% in Q2 FY22, a growth of 14%. Profit after tax was 51 crores in Q2 FY23 versus 42 crores in Q2 FY22, an increase of 20.5%. EPS for Q2 FY23 was 38.99 versus 32.36 in Q2 FY22. For Q2 FY23, 54% of the top line was from sanitary ware, 34% from faucet ware, tiles represented 10% and wellness 2%. On a YOY basis, sanitary ware revenues registered an increase of 10%, faucet ware revenues increased by 7%, tiles decreased by 20%, and wellness increased by 10%. The sanitary ware and faucet ware verticals remain the bedrock of our business with contribution of 88% to Cera's overall revenues. We continue to witness encouraging demand for newly launched products. Products launched during the last 2 years contributed close to 24% of revenues. Products launched during the last 3 years contributed close to 36% of revenues. Inventory days in Q2 FY23 were 81 days compared to 60 days in Q2 FY22. Receivable days in Q2 FY23 were 26 days versus 36 days last year. Payable days in Q2 FY23 was 36 days against 35 days in Q2 of FY22. Therefore, net working capital days in Q2 FY23 were 71 days versus 61 days in Q2 FY22. After a fairly low capex last year, as against the capex budget of 17.19 crores for FY22, the total capex spent was 11.12 crores. In the current year, the capex budget, other than the brownfield faucetware expansion and the proposed greenfield sanitaryware capacity expansion programs, are 24.6 crores, of which 7.7 crores is for sanitaryware automation, 6.4 crores for faucetware automation, 6.6 crores for land and building, and 3.9 crores for logistics and IT. Cera's growth plan remains intact, as it plans to expand capacities and to monetize rising demand. After taking a few years to break the 1250 to 1350 crore top line band, in FY22, Cera touched a top line of 1446 crores. We all saw the impact on EBITDA and PAT margins. Going forward, Cera is set on a new top-line trajectory, which we can all witness in the Q1 and Q2 numbers. Every decision made at Cera is from the shareholders' point of view, with ROCE, payback period, and impact on EPS fully considered before being placed for deliberation amongst the board of directors. The classification of sale in FY 2022 was 42% in the premium category, 28% in the mid category, 30% in the entry category. In Q1 FY 2023, the data classification had an error and should be read as 43% premium category, 30% mid category, 27% entry category. There is now standardization of classification based on price points and positioning of SKUs, and therefore, the data for classification of sales in Q2 FY 2023 is 43% in the premium category, 30% in the mid category, and 27% in the entry category. Cera has launched a new ad campaign with brand ambassadors Kiara Advani and Vijay Deverakonda, titled It's Your Space, Play It Your Way. We have received very positive feedback on the campaign and as the brand moves up the pricing and design pyramid. I would now request the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Sir, since the top line has grown.
I'm sorry, you're not audible. Can you speak louder, please?
Now? Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, our top line has grown by 5%, and our volume growth in sanitaryware and faucetware is upwards of 10% and 7% respectively. Sir, is there any price cut have you taken? Or, if you can throw some light.
Disha, the company is now at a very crucial stage of metamorphosis. Normally, the number of new products, and the new products we always used to classify as the products launched in the last three years, used to be around 22%-24% of sales. This quarter is 36% of sales. New products with a complete change in aesthetics and functionality, and therefore at a much higher price point, is the way to go. You know, we are a market leader. You know, we asked ourselves the question, who is looking out for the consumer? The leader has to guard the price. With softer raw materials, softer cost base, there was no compulsion to increase the price. Even though we have pricing power, the brand promise and brand salience are so strong, we could have taken a price rise in Q2, just like we had taken at the beginning of Q1. Enough price rises were taken all through the last 15 months. We believe for the short term, there is no compulsion to take a price rise. In case our peer group takes a price rise, we will gain a tremendous market share. These are some of the efforts being made to not only remain as leader, but gain market share.
Okay. We are not even planning to decrease it again because of the price or market leadership.
No, decrease.
Hello?
Has never really happened.
Okay.
Even in the past.
Okay. Sir, the sales are 5%, but volume growth is 10% for sanitaryware. That's why the difference is because of the wellness tiles degrowth. Is that my understanding right?
The value growth in sanitaryware is 10% and faucetware 7%. On overall, the company's top line, if you add all the income, this has grown 6.25%. Tiles, as you know, we have virtually no capital employed in that business. We have no fixed assets in that business. There is just little bit of capital deployed in working capital. It's a pure trading business, and we retain the flexibility to keep changing our product mix to get to an optimum EBITDA number. The gain.
Yeah.
for us in Tiles is not to gain, reach a certain number in top line, but to reach a certain EBITDA percentage number.
Okay. Sir, and also as a shareholder, we would like to see volume growth. So just stressing on that, so this what you mentioned, 10% and 7% is mix of volume and price or only value growth? Then what would be the volume growth?
It is purely value growth, and I'll tell you the reason why I emphasized on that. See, right now we are dealing with in sanitaryware, 518 SKUs, with almost 100 SKUs being added every year. So it is not difficult for a company like Cera to increase volumes by continuing to sell mid-level products. But as the company moves up the value chain, the pricing chain and design chain, volumes will not be the driver of growth. Value is the best way to look at the company. In faucetware, again, in faucetware, you're dealing with 994 SKUs.
Okay. So, our volume growth this quarter would be how much then?
Again, the volume growth is not the way to look at the company.
Okay, sir. And sir, going forward, margin, if you can throw some light, since you mentioned they are on the downward trend, and we do not plan to increase price and keep it stable. So we can see our gross margin expansion and also EBITDA margin expansion. Am I understanding it right?
Yes. What you said was raw materials are on a downward trend, especially brass. So, you know, zinc, brass and faucet where they have declined. And I can give you some details on that. In sanitary where 95% of the RM is these three items. Feldspar, China clay. So there has been no increase in Q2. In zinc, there has been a slight increase last year, but that's less than 1% of the RM basket. In the glaze recipe, there's a 10% increase last year and no increase in Q2. So overall, there was almost a reduction in the sanitaryware basket. In faucetware, the reduction was even more pronounced because zinc and brass both declined. Sorry, Zamac and brass both declined. Brass declined from 545 rupees to 495 rupees per ton. There was a saving of 3.82 crores in the quarter. And Zamac declined. Zamac declined 371 to 317 per ton, and the saving only in this quarter was 30 lakhs.
Okay. So we can expect a gross margin expansion, or it will be stable going forward.
Again, gross margin has already expanded. You know, this 56% is an all-time high.
Correct.
And the way that has been achieved is not only through RM decrease, but sweating the assets more and making sure that the efficiencies have increased.
Okay, and so operating leverage must be also at the peak, you know, since we are sweating it so nicely. So more leverage may not be possible because we are already running at plus 100 capacity.
So more leverage is possible because the SKUs at the bottom end will be continuously moved out to our vendors and higher end SKUs be taken. And some SKUs which we used to import from China have also been taken in. The reason for import from China was not that we couldn't make it in-house. The reason was the quantities of those SKUs were very small. We didn't want to have short runs in the factory. But now the factory's manufacturing capability is agile enough to allow for these short run SKUs.
Okay. And sir, your medium-term guidance for the sales growth, if you can specify, please.
So once we achieved 1440 crores in March 22, we had said that we will double in 40 months, and that remains intact. And you know, the best way to look at this is if you look at the H1 numbers now, normally H1 is 45% of sales. So you'll have a pretty good estimate of FY23 and then beyond. And you know, the numbers we are looking at is a dramatic. H1 is 30.52%. Over last year's H1.
Yes, because of the lower base in Q1 FY22 maybe because.
Correct.
The COVID. Yeah, yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to know the asset turn on the capex of faucetware of 70 crores and what would be the capex in the greenfield sanitaryware whenever you plan finally and what will be the asset turn there?
Asset turn faucet will be higher simply because we are getting a lot of advantages of the current facility. There's no cost of land, etc. Cost of civil is also maybe half of what it would have been in a greenfield facility. So on 69 crore, the asset turns will be between 2 and 3 once it's commissioned. But a lot will depend on which SKUs are made. So this number can be revisited once the plant has been operating for 6-8 months. But current numbers based on what we plan on producing will be about between 2 and 3. In sanitaryware, we had identified a few land parcels. But we didn't reach a conclusive end of a binding or non-binding document. So we are looking at a few more locations. Land prices in Gujarat have gone up. Availability of labor, water and gas, all four factors confluencing has not been so easy. So that is why I mentioned that no document has been signed for any land so far. So we hope to complete something before March 23.
But what approximate capex in sanitaryware would happen?
Land would cost 25 crores and the overall plant we estimate right now will cost 129 crores.
And asset turn on this 150 crores?
No, together it's 129. So asset turns will be above 2, but again it will be a function of which SKUs are made in a current manufacturing facility and which SKUs in the newer one.
So until this capacity comes, you have the scope of improving your products mix within your existing capacity, right?
Yes.
Sourcing versus buying from outside.
That's right. And that is the reason you're seeing improvement in gross margins.
Okay. Sir, so if I have to look at your strategy incrementally on having slightly more premium products and also better utilizing your own asset by what to purchase and what to make in-house, the 16% margin that we see have actually a scope for an upside bias and can improve as you double your revenue over the next 40 months?
Yes, we would be, I would say we would be satisfied with a 50 to 75 bps annual increase in EBITDA margins in this journey, and that has already happened between 21 and 22. More than that has happened. Even currently, you're seeing more than that happen. So we will just say on an annualized basis, anything above 50 would be a very welcome development.
Okay, and sir, lastly, if you could give for H1 23, what was the sanitaryware, faucetware, tile and wellness revenues and for quarter two also?
Yes, I can give you H1 numbers. $436.82 crores in sanitaryware versus 315 crores last year in H1. Faucetware was 278 crores this year versus 201 last year. Wellness 14.46 versus 11.55 last year. Tile 79.21 versus 85.66 last year. That was H1. I'll give you Q2. Q2 sanitaryware was 225.19 this year versus 203.97 last year. Faucet was 141.76 this year versus 133.01 last year. Wellness 7.81 this year versus 7.11 last year. Tiles 38.72 versus 48.46 last year.
And any reason for a slightly slower growth what we see this quarter?
Again, this is the outcome of a metamorphosis that the company is going through. You have seen our latest ad campaigns that completely repositions Cera in the consumer's mind. We are now trying to compete both with MNCs, with companies which import not only from China but from Western European countries and also from a traditional peer group who are large sanitary ware players. So we have already products across the entire pricing pyramid. And the emphasis of the company is to make sure the share of premium items continues to increase.
You mentioned that H1 is 45% of the revenue, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was not convinced by the answer which you gave for slower growth of 7%. So was there a distribution change or anything because of which was there a product SKU realignment where you are slowly migrating to a premium SKU? That's the reason I could actually comprehend the answer that you mentioned for slower growth.
See, we would always like higher growth and we would like industry beating growth, but that has to be looked at in all from 360 degrees. You can't have growth with increasing receivable days. You can't have growth with suddenly expanding in a geography after spending a 10 crores on launch. So being a listed company and a highly disciplined financial company, we take all those factors into account before making any moves in the market. The name of the game is retain your core base, your core identity of SKUs, and keep on launching new SKUs so that share of new SKUs may not necessarily take place in volume but tremendously in value. So I would only request you to look at one statistic that I read out. Share of new products were always between 22% and 24%. Share of products launched in the last 3 years, but now they are at 36%. That is a tectonic shift in the company's functioning.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
All right.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Srinayak Bachadwat from LIC AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, as we have seen recently, pipe players like Astral and Prince have entered the bathware segment. And these guys have strong distribution in tier 2 and below markets, which is the core market for us, which is 80% of our revenue, right? And also there is the overlap benefit they have where the hardware stores which sell the pipes also sell the bathware products. So we were reducing our focus on metros because of the competition to MNC, but do you see an increasing competitive intensity in the tier 2 and below cities because of these pipe players coming in our business?
You are in the market, you know the numbers. The pipe companies have not really been able to achieve scale so far. Maybe they make all the correct moves going forward. The kind of pressure that the financial community has put on them, they are forced to become B2B suppliers. And transferability of a brand from behind the wall to front of the wall is very, very difficult. We are seeing that even tile companies with such strong financial muscle, distribution muscle, have not been able to transfer their brand from tiles to sanitary ware and faucet ware over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
So transferability from a low-end product, which is completely commoditized, to a high-end design and aesthetic-based product is not easy. And I mean, I'm waiting to see more evidence on that. So far, there is no evidence that has been put in front of us, whether the consumer has accepted them or not accepted them. As far as tier 3 is concerned, you see, the census says all population centers above 1 lakh is a tier 1 town. But you know our definition for easy understanding, we have said tier 1 towns are population centers above 25 lakhs. And tier 2 cities are between 10 and 25 lakhs. And tier 3 cities we classify for discussion purposes only as population centers below 10 lakhs, which is a very broad range, which is why you see that number. So currently the number in this quarter was 27, 12 and 60. And that 60 number, if we were to further, reduce the band from 10 lakhs to 5 lakhs or even 2.5 lakhs, that number will get more evenly distributed between tier 1 and tier 2 cities.
Sure, sir. Could you also throw some light on the demand scenario in metros versus tier 2 and below cities? Like, is there any sharp gap or broadly similar?
I would say demand continues to be strong, and most important is the B2C demand, where interest rates are not a deciding factor, unlike in the B2B demand and the new apartment offtake category, where interest rates are, of course, one of the factors that determine velocity of sales. So Cera's focus is completely on the B2C category, where the consumer is neither taking a loan nor is trying to time his home improvement with any kind of economic cycle. So that's our focus that remains strong in all categories.
Sure. And so basically we are talking about sharp growth in our numbers, but where do we see our tile segment? How should we as analysts look at the tile segment? Is it just a side segment where we will not concentrate, or how will you see that grow?
The tile segment, in any case, for the last so many years, we de-risked our balance sheet from the tile segment. We participated in equities in two JVs. One we have exited, the other one is not currently working. But our total exposure to that JV is only 8 crores. So other than that, there are no assets on the books. It's a purely trading venture. Currently, the tiles industry is going through a lot of upheaval, and that you're seeing in, you know, the results of many tiles companies. The upheaval is because there is tremendous overcapacity of tiles players in Morbi and other places. There is no pricing power even with the brands, and there is no product differentiation between different players. So till that upheaval subsides, it's a very difficult call to try and increase your share of tiles. And in any case, it's the lowest contributor to profits in Cera. So you're seeing that when tiles were 17-18% of the P&L, the margins were much lower than what it is now when tiles are 9-10% of the P&L. So the focus right now is to be a niche tiles player, try and sell double charged, triple fired GVT, some walls, some paving tiles, a mixture of tiles which are not fully commoditized.
Surely. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rahul Agarwal from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Good morning. And so I have 3 questions. Firstly, on CapEx, so I understand the regular part of it, which is a 25% breakdown here. On the faucet side, 70 crores largely should be spent in this year, but I'm seeing first half at 10 crores. Could you help me with timelines for faucet expenses purely on cash capex? And then I'll come down to sanitaryware capex.
Faucet is a total of 69 crores. And we started in June, July this year after requisite approvals were in place. So far, a very small portion of that 69 crores, the bulk of it has been spent in advances to plant and equipment manufacturers, technology suppliers, and a little bit in civil works. So bulk of it will be more end loaded, and you'll see bulk of it in Q3, Q4, and also Q1 and Q2 of FY24, a total of 69 crores.
So by sense, by June of 2023, faucet start. So bulk of it should be done by April, May of 2023. Is that correct?
That's right.
So second half obviously will be capex heavy on faucet.
That's right. Out of the 69.
Right. And on sanitary ware, obviously it's not finalized yet, but you know, you spend 25 crore land, which should happen by March, and then bulk of the balance 100 crore should come down in fiscal 24. Is that correct?
24 and 25. It will be 18 to 24 months of capex post land acquisition.
2 years post-land
acquisition.
Okay. Second question was on growth. So sanitary waste plant obviously will come much later. Right now, you know, fully utilized. The plan is similar for the second half. So the growth next year is taken care of from outsourcing. Is that understanding correct?
No, you see, if you look at our commentary from before COVID in Jan 19, even March 19, we had said that the industry faces a problem of availability. And at that time, that message didn't find too much resonance because no other listed player talks about availability problems. But we said the pace at which demand is growing, capacity across the board for the industry has not kept pace. And that is something we witnessed in the first half of the COVID period as well, not because of factory disruption, but demand completely exploded. Now, this is the first time this year that we have had no shortage of a single SKU in a single geography. And it has been our aim to keep on increasing inventory days just because there is no cost of carry. You know, there is no cost of obsolescence. So it was an important objective to have achieved. And going forward, we will keep this 80 to 90 days inventory days. We will keep on outsourcing lower end products to third party vendors. Incidentally, just wanted to share with you that the cost of Indian vendors is 35 to 45% lower than Chinese imports, even after container costs have come down from 6,000 per container to 1,500 per container in September. So Indian vendors and Indian outsourcing is the way to go, and to keep freeing up infrastructure and capacity in the own plant to make newer SKUs.
So the question is, next year for sanitary ware, if you, let's say you grow between 10 to 15%, how, where does this growth come from? Because you are anyway at 115, you will still be the same in second half. So do we go to like another 15% on that over capacity utilization? That's how we should look at it?
We'll be making newer SKUs which were launched last year and this year in our own plant, and our vendors will be making the traditional SKUs. But in rupee terms, you will not see a outsourcing increase, because the value increase in in-house production will be much more disproportionately higher.
Okay, now I get it. I get it. And lastly, on you know, on the other income, the first quarter was negative. You know, that question remained unanswered last time. The second quarter is 10 crore. What is really happening there? Why is the fluctuation?
Because we take, as per Ind AS, we take M2M valuations of all our mutual funds, which are all in safe instruments. So, you know, even GOI bond funds had fluctuations when the interest rate cycle in April and May spiked, but they settled down. So this was all non-cash charge. Even out of the 10.95 crores you see, 8.34 crores is M2M changes. Only 2.61 crores is actual cash flow.
Okay, I get it. Get it. And lastly, just to clarify on the CapEx, so about 25 crores sanitary ware land, about 25 regular CapEx, that's 50, and another, let's say, 30-40 on faucet. That's close to 90 this year. And then we're looking at another, you know, 20 regular next year, and about 100, about, let's say, 70-80 of sanitary ware. So that's another 100 next year. So about 100 crore average this year, next year CapEx is fine from a cash perspective?
Yes, and that will be just half of our annual operating cash flow. So there most likely will not be a need to dip into the treasury reserves.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ayush. All
Thank
the best.
You. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Ayush, my first question is on the mix in terms of in-house manufacturing versus outsourcing for this quarter, and how it was in 2Q of FY22 across the two categories, basically, sanitary ware and faucet.
The mix in terms of premium and...
No, the in-house manufacturing versus the outsourcing.
Okay, okay. In-house in Q2 was 40% in sanitary ware, outsourcing was 60%. In faucet ware, in-house was 48% and outsourcing was 52%. Versus last year, in-house in sanitary ware was 41, outsourcing was 59. In faucet ware, in-house was 43 and outsourcing was 57.
Okay. And what you just commented like previously, that this contribution from in-house will kind of go up mainly because of better product mix next year, FY22.
That's right.
Okay. Okay. And second question is a general demand trend, right? There is a mix reviews that we keep hearing in terms of the real estate market, given the interest rates are going up. If you can just qualitatively highlight how it is in, say, Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets vis-a-vis premium markets or urban markets, basically.
We find no change in any demand trends, and maybe what you have heard is more tiles-driven because, you know, the tiles industry is going through a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-30-40-year upheaval with too much overcapacity and no product differentiation between the lowest-end players and the brands who charge a higher price. So that really reduces their pricing power. Those are the reasons for the upheaval in tiles rather than any demand-led upheaval. In sanitaryware and faucetware, we have not found any trends so far which are different in Q1, Q2, or even in October.
Okay, sure. And second question is on this faucetware capacity which we are going to commence. Like, I mean, this 4 lakh pieces per month. So that complete absorption will happen by end of FY24 or probably by first half of FY25?
So after July 23, when the plant starts producing those numbers, it might take a few months to reach that final 4 lakh per month destination. But that will definitely happen during that financial year.
Okay, so FY24 itself, basically, end of FY24 itself, we should see.
Yes.
Okay, and last question on the tile segment, we are kind of defocusing from this segment, and I believe this year 23 will kind of be flattish vis-a-vis FY22. So going ahead, should we anticipate this category to remain at that level or probably even decline, say, for FY24 and 25?
First of all, the first filter we use is we don't want to deploy more capital in tiles.
Okay.
That's the first filter. Second filter is we need a certain EBITDA percentage in every sale that we do. So that is only possible in high-end double-charged and triple-fired GVT. And that's where the concentration is. So we are not that focused on a certain top line to be achieved in tiles. And, you know, tiles has gone through a major upheaval and Cera has been completely spared of that upheaval. If we were a larger player, then we would have somewhere gotten singed like all other players have gotten singed.
Sure. This is helpful. Sorry, and one last piece. I missed the gas prices at Sabarmati and Ghee for this quarter, how it was and how it was last year.
The gas number?
No, the gas prices.
Okay, I'll just give you the gas prices. Average from GAIL, which is about 56% of our consumption, was 25.70. And from Sabarmati, which is 44-45%, was 74.87. Weighted average after considering the respective shares is 48.56, which is dramatically lower than anybody's average.
Correct.
And this advantage will remain.
And how it was last year? GAIL and Sabarmati?
GAIL last year, I'll give you the number for the full year 21-22. GAIL was 11.13. Sabarmati was 59.46 and the weighted average was 32.93.
Okay. So from 32.9, it has gone up to 48.5.
Yes. So this 16 rupees in Cera's case works out to about 15 crores.
Okay.
The annual impact is 15 crores.
Got it. This is helpful and best wishes for coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akash Shah from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Shah.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ayush, for the opportunity. And I just had two questions. One, from Q2 FY22 to Q2 FY23, what would be the price growth that we would have taken in sanitaryware and faucetware segment?
I'll give you the breakup also of the price growth. After Q2 last year. In November was the first price hike of 10% in sanitaryware, 5.5% in faucetware. And then there was no price hike till May 2022, 3% in sanitaryware and 5% in faucetware. And both came with a lag effect because, you know, dealers rush to place orders when there's an announcement of price hike, and some orders need to be fulfilled at the old price as well. So with a slight lag, there have been two price hikes between the two Q2s.
Yes, understood. Thanks a lot. Ayush, so going forward, how should we think percentage contribution of tiles would be to our overall top line? Would it be 10-15% of revenue, or would it go to 20% maybe 1 or 2 years down the line?
I would say any number between 8 and 12 would be a very comfortable number, because that would make sure that our estimate of margin increase at the EBITDA level of 50 to 75 basis is maintained. And, you know, if the company adds between 350 to 400 crores of top line annually, so tiles could be anything between a 150, 180 crore business.
Yes, understood. Thanks a lot. And so we have around, please correct me if I'm wrong, we have around 485 crore of cash as of September 2022. So any thoughts on how we are planning to utilize this cash? Because internal accruals would be able to fund the CAPEX plan that we have. So any thoughts around that?
485 was the number in September 21. In September 22, it's 573. And in any case, last year, you know, there was a special dividend on the 40th year of the company, in addition to the regular dividend. So dividend is normally 17-18% of PAT. Last year, of course, the number instead of 20 crores was 46 crores. So let's see, based on the CAPEX needs, the growth of the company, the working capital needs, the board will decide on this year's dividend. Normally that ratio of the last 6 years has been 17-18%. But other than that, growth is something that the company is more interested in rather than using the cash for any other purposes.
Yes, understood. And just one last question, if I can. If I look at H1 FY23, we have clocked around 54.8% gross margins, which was higher than even H1 FY19. So broadly, can we build this gross margin as a sustainable number going forward, or this may once again mean revert to 52-53% that we have seen in past?
There are a lot of activities being carried on in the company. The trade margins are being negotiated wherever they can. The cost basket is being analyzed on a regular basis. The aim is to keep on increasing the gross margins. Unless something volatile happens in the RM basket, labor basket, or transport basket, we don't see the gross margin changing. The only one addition that I'd like to highlight to you is the company has embarked on a new advertising and publicity campaign that will play out over the next 6 to 8 months, and that will be an expensive campaign, but that will upgrade the brand tremendously, the benefits of which the company will get at least over the next 5-6 years in higher sales. And the company is trying to increase its sales by 1.25 times annually. So this kind of brand upgradation and repositioning upwards, this was an exercise that was required, and you're seeing the benefits of that. So that is the only major change, but that will not influence COGS or gross margins. That will come right at the selling and marketing expenses and other expenses side.
Yes, sure. And just one last bookkeeping. Ad spends for the year for FY23 would be how much percentage roughly?
Normally they are 3.5-4%. This year we could look at 5%, but that is subject to further discussion during Q3 and Q4.
Sure. Thank you very much, and best wishes. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Udit Gajwala from YES Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking up my question. This is broadly you have answered all the questions. Just one thing, that's for H2, we are aiming for just revising the number that you said of that H1 is 45%. So if I just do a simple math, we are aiming for an 18% year-on-year growth in H2. So how much, I know you don't would like to comment on the volume thing, but given that we are not looking at any price hike, what gives us the confidence of achieving such growth?
See, price hike is not on the table at the current moment. So, I mean, we're talking about early November. In the short term, there is no discussion on price hike. In the medium term, which is end of Q3 or Q4, is too long a time period to talk about price hike given the changes in RM mix that we see. But the growth will come from new product introduction. And which is why, you know, we are not that focused or not that hung up on pure volume growth, because we want to keep on increasing our share of premium products where the margin profile, the brand image all come into play. And there are 3-4 other things that have been done in the background. You know, Cera is the only company which has not outsourced its after-sales service to third-party contractors. We are the only company which has pierced the 10-year ceiling in faucetware warranties. Our faucets come with a 15-year warranty on the forged brass piece in the faucet. So those are the things which have been done behind the scenes to make sure that our share of new products continue to grow and our market share grows.
Understood. Would that imply that, you know, the dealer inventory would be at a normalized level, or they are stocking up, or what would be the on-ground scenario currently?
First of all, you know, the company has to have inventory, and we have, let's say, 19 distributed warehouses which have to carry so many SKUs. So if the company has inventory, then there will be availability to the dealers, which is a very important metric for the way we look at sales. We have achieved that over the last 12 months. After many years, we want to keep that intact. The 80 days of inventory that you see does not include the dealer inventory. And dealers, you know, they have access to just-in-time inventory, in most cases 2-3 hours away from them, because it's the company depots and warehouses which stock a very large scale of inventory. For them to have a high need for inventory is not there, because they, once they once the company raises an invoice, the dealer has to pay. So for them, there is no need to have a high inventory.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akshay from Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just my question was on this downtrading aspect. So how do you see that downtrading happening in sanitaryware and faucetware going forward? Because at least in other categories, there are a lot of companies which are talking, at least in other, say, building material categories, even the paint company or even a plywood company, so they are talking about a lot of trading happening. So wouldn't that happen in our case, because at least large part of our focus is on the premium side? So, I mean, how do you see that?
In fact, we have seen trends which are contrary, you know, because the bulk of our new products, like I explained, in faucetware, PVD, black mat, French gold, yellow gold, water tons, all our premium category launches, you know, over time, there'll be 319 SKUs. And share of new products has been increasing. New products are primarily in the mid and premium segment. So, you know, new product development, brand repositioning, new ad campaign, all have tied in very well together. So we are seeing exactly the opposite of the commentary many other companies have been providing. And there's one more reason for that. A lot of these companies are more focused on new home sales, which Cera is not.
Okay. Okay. Understood, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all. That's it for my side.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Cera remains positive that its strong positioning in the industry and improving macros would help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. Should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking time to join the call and see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.